The Hollister Ranch has been a privately owned sheep ranch since 1794, but it has some of the best surf breaks in California. And so we ask, should government force private property to open its gates to the public?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned in to the 1216th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Puerto Madryn who are tuned in to the Food Chain Podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, one of the last undeveloped places on the Pacific coast of the U.S. is the 14,400-acre Hollister Ranch located due west of Santa Barbara. You may not enter the gate of this magnificent parcel of coastal California unless you are allowed to by the Hollister Ranch Owners Association. The Hollister Ranch is, you see, private property. In the 1950s, the Hollister family, which then owned the property, endeavored to share their magnificent landscape with the community by opening it up to the Sportsman Hunting Club, which then split into smaller clubs, one of which became the Santa Barbara Surf Club. The surfers gave their names to various of the ranch's magnificent surf breaks, and razors, blades, drakes, little drakes, and Utah became legendary throughout California's surf community. In California, state law allows public access to all coastal land below the mean high tide line. Surfers, divers, hikers, and fishermen take advantage of this law, and so it is with a surf break at Hollister Ranch. Surfers gain access to the ranch by boat. They motor up the coast, and there they are. When the state of California approached the Hollister Ranch Owners Association with a proposal to develop even greater access to the pristine coast, the association was not opposed and cooperated with the state. Legislation was proposed that encouraged state officials to work with the ranch on developing an access plan. But during the final days of the 2019 legislative session, without hearings or debate, the legislation was changed to give the state free and unfettered access to the ranch. And furthermore, it gave the state the power to fine the ranch owners tens of thousands of dollars should they hinder the state's access in any way. The Hollister Ranch owners, fearful of the state government's intentions, filed suit. And that suit leads us to ask, should government force private property to open the gates to the public? And so today, to help us come to a grips with this, finding an answer to this question, we have David Bremer, who is a senior attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. David, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you for having me.
Now, working with a number of Pacific legal attorneys. So, how would you describe the Pacific Legal Foundation?
I would describe us as a 501c3 foundation. It's dedicated to defending individual liberty in the courts, and particularly the right to own and use private property without excessive interference from government, and just compensation if there is that interference.
Mm-hmm. Well, those of us on the Food Chain have been working with Tony Francois, who's been defending John Duarte, a farmer up in the Central Valley, who had the temerity to go out and plow his land. And the Army Corps of Engineers showed up and said, you can't plow your land. There's a mud puddle there in the winter. And they fined him well over $1 million. And so you folks are defending him. Am I right?
That's correct.
And good for you for doing that, too. It seems kind of crazy. Now, something seems to be pretty strange going on, because I know the Trump administration has stepped in and changed the WOTUS rules so that farmers like John Duarte could now plow their land if it is not, you know, directly connected with some kind of navigable water. And yet you're still fighting that, the federal government on that, are you not? So it's still going on.
Well, that's true. In the Duarte case, that case arose prior to the Trump administration's changes to the rule. So you have that issue that the enforcement against Duarte was based on a prior rule. So we're still fighting for him, and we are looking forward to a new rule that doesn't define every puddle and pool and stream that has some connection downstream miles away. Those should not be waters of the United States. So we're waiting to see how this plays out to some degree beyond the Duarte case.
Okay, so there seems to be an interesting conflict going on here with respect to the feds and the state of California. The feds seem to be going one way, and the state of California seems to be going the other way. And you find yourself, I believe, fighting the other direction because of what the state of California is trying to pull on the folks that own the Hollister Ranch there west of Santa Barbara. Would you describe, give us a quick thumbnail of what's going on down there?
Sure. So as you described in the introduction, Hollister Ranch is a 14,000-acre area at the northern end of Southern California. And it's a working cattle ranch, always has been since the 1800s.
I think it started out with sheep, though, didn't it? Many years ago.
It may very well have. For a long time, it's had cattle. It may have started with other animals besides cattle. I'm not sure. But okay. The point is that it's a working cattle ranch, and it was subdivided by the Hollister family into 100-acre-plus parcels and conditioned on continuing agricultural use. There's CC&Rs and things like that that require continued agricultural use. And so there's no fences around these 100-acre parcels. The cattle roam around this big ranch, and they ship lots of beef out of there. Mm-hmm. But it's also on the coast, and it has like going back in time in Southern California. There's no development on this eight miles stretch of coast that borders the Hollister Ranch. No homes. They don't build there. The ranch people that own parcels don't build right on the bluffs on the coast there. So it's very pristine and unique in Southern California, which, as you know, has been developed a lot. There's a lot of pressure from groups, coastal recreation groups, surfers, hikers, to get in there and to allow the public to enjoy that pristine stretch of coastline that is right now closed because it's a private ranch and you just can't go in there unless you have permission.
And the state is stepping in and saying your land is our land now because of
yes, sort of. What the state has said is that, and they've been trying to do this for a long time, they want to create some kind of expanded public access opportunities across the ranch's land so that the public, more of the public, can get to the actual water. Right now you can only access the beaches along the ranch if you come in, if you boat in by, along the sea, as you mentioned, or if you, you trespass and you hike in some way, then you can get to the beaches. What the state wants to do is create some kind of access way across the ranch's land, to allow the public to drive in or park somewhere and hike across the land to be able to access those beaches. So the state would say, we're not taking their land, but we do want to create some kind of mechanism to get more people in there, and they're not sure how they're going to do that yet.
Okay. Kind of a fine line, don't you think? We're not going to take your land, but we're going to take your land and use it as
we see fit.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe let me be a little bit more specific. So right now there's no clear indication of what the state is going to actually do when it comes to public access. But what they have said in passing this law, which is called AB 1680, what they have said is that state officials from four different agencies, they will have access to the ranches, to the common areas in the ranch, which are all the roads and the areas along the coast. The state itself now has access to the ranch and can use those roads. So that in itself is a taking, true, but it's not a taking for public access. It's a taking for government access, and that's one of the things we've sued about in our lawsuit is this unfettered free pass for the government officials to come into the ranch, drive around and search the ranch, gather data.
Okay. So then it's not a taking for the public use. It's a taking for the government use so they can figure out how to take it for the public use.
Exactly.
Something like that. So, okay.
That's right. There's an initial taking we're alleging for the government access and a violation of the Fourth Amendment for searching without a warrant. And the point is, we believe the point is down the road to enable them to take for public access. But that second public access taking is unclear what exactly that is or where it is or what it entails.
Now, when the government went about deciding to do this with this piece of legislation, did they ask the Homeowners Association to amend their initial agreement, or was there any communication with the homeowners?
I believe there was, and I wasn't involved in the case at that time, so I may not have all the details right, but I believe that initially that the ranch wasn't opposed to some kind of program to coordinate together to give some expanded access, maybe a trail down to the first point or something. They weren't opposed to working toward that end, but it's my understanding that the law was changed at sort of at the last minute to add this provision giving the government access right now to the ranch and to add several other unexpected provisions that threw a monkey wrench in the negotiations from the ranch's perspective.
Sure, and this was done kind of at the very last minute of the 2019 legislative session, right? So legislators are getting ready to break for the holidays, and, oh, by the way, let's do this really quickly. Was anybody notified in the press? Did anybody know that it was going to happen?
I believe I wasn't, this is secondhand knowledge.
Okay.
So I believe that the ranch itself, eventually they were notified of the amendments, but there wasn't enough time for them to mount a successful or concerted effort to lobby and change it. So I believe the feeling from the ranch is that they were blindsided by some of these amendments at the end.
I did that once when I was a student body president at a California college. It was coming time to run again for the election, and we snuck in an election before anybody knew what we were doing, and we won. Amazing how that works, huh?
You're a good politician.
Well, I was for a little while, but not anymore, I'm afraid. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. And today, What's Eating What is that the state of California is eating up a private ranch to give it public access. And they're doing it kind of without anybody's permission or anything. They just passed a law that said, we now have free and unfettered access to the Hollister Ranch. And if they try to stop us, we'll fine them tens of thousands of dollars, so there's no say at all. Well, that's kind of strange. Do you think a government should be able to open up private property to public access? Right back. Stay tuned.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about the government takeover of it seems like government trying to take over some private property. The private property in question is the 14,400 Hollister Ranch. Due west of Santa Barbara, California. You'd think it would be due north of Santa Barbara, but it's not really. It's due west of Santa Barbara. Just where Highway 1 takes a right-hand turn from going west and going to go north, if you were to go straight, you would run right smack dab into the Hollister Ranch, but you can't get in because it has a gate there. And to get in, you have to have permission from the homeowners because it is private property. But they only own the access, they only control the access to the mean high tide level. Below that, it's open to anybody who can get in. And who does get in, generally speaking, tends to be the surfers who get in by boat. Take a boat up there, and they have developed legendary surf spots. And I suppose what makes them legendary is that only a few surfers get to go there. And then, since only a few get to go there, all the rest of them want to go there. So it's become kind of like a cause celebre for everybody to figure out how to get into the Hollister Ranch, where few other people can get in. So you have a lot of people who want in and a very few people who own it. Now, that doesn't sound like a very tenable position if you're a homeowner. Does it, David Bremer?
Well, we live in the state of California, so let's just say that the respect and understanding of the role of private property and the necessity of protecting it aren't as strong here as it might be elsewhere. So especially on the coast, when you own land there, there's a lot of pressure for public rights and the like. So I would say that there's definitely some tension between trying to keep your privacy when you own coastal land and the pressure from outside groups to take away that privacy so that they can enjoy it.
And California is essentially a one-party state now, and I would suspect that might have something to do with the state government's ability to pass a law at the very last minute that gave us free and unfettered access to the Hollister Ranch.
Well, sure. I mean, politics is always easier when you don't have any opposition or very little opposition. But regardless of what party is in control, we still have the United States Constitution, and California is still subject to that Constitution as far as I know. And the federal courts still have oversight of violations of the Constitution. So the Hollister Ranch, if they can't get relief from the state, they have an option to go to the federal court and assert their constitutional rights not to have their property taken for government access or for unreasonable search of their property to a federal court and vindicate their rights that way, and that's what we've done. And we'll see how that goes.
Okay, let me ask you a very tough question. From the perspective of all of the surfers that want to surf the Hollister Ranch, why on earth are private property rights important when we could have access to that ranch?
Why are private property rights important?
Yes.
It's a good question. It's a very basic question that we forget sometimes, because in the United States, we're so used to the idea of private property where I think a lot of times we forget why we should even care. And maybe I can make it simple. I hope so. The bottom line is that property is more than just a thing that you have in your quiver. It's more than just a stuff in your garage or that you can put your name on. It's when you have property, property is security. Property is privacy. Property is a template for you to express yourself. Property is an investment. Property is all these things. It's where the other rights that we enjoy in a free society play out. On private property, you can garden and paint and have those opportunities. You can create a private space to get away from the modern world in order to think and rejuvenate. You can have investments that accrue from private property for the next generation. So private property is all these things, and that's why we protect it, because intuitively we know, or we used to know at least, that if we don't have private property rights, then our other rights are threatened. The government can come and take your wallet. It is sure going to be hard for you to speak out against the government. It is sure going to be hard for you to have any predictability of security and financial planning if it can just come. So that wallet, which is my metaphor for property,
it is
your very
property.
Important to keep. It's very important to keep, because your other rights are tenuous when that property right is at risk.
Well, I see this Hollister Ranch standoff, this political fight that you're in the thick of, as kind of being emblematic of California or everywhere when it gets right down to it. There are us city people who live in the city, and we go for drives in the country and we see all this beautiful property out there. Why shouldn't we be able to just, you know, go out and enjoy it ourselves, walk across somebody's farmland and whatnot? So, and prevent them from, you know, driving a tractor and raising dust and spraying for bugs. And so we almost...
Well, you can, but you have to buy it. when you want something, it's important, mm-hmm. and you buy it or you get permission. And that is not only basic good manners in our society, that is in the Constitution. The government can come and take my property for a public trail or a parking lot tomorrow if it wants it, as long as it pays fair market value. Mm-hmm. So it can do that at the ranch. The government can do that. But what it can't do is, in that process, there's a proper way to do that if that's actually going to happen. It's not clear if they actually want to pay for land at the Hollister Ranch or not. But in that process, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. You have due process protections. You can't just give yourself a pass to search around private property without any limits on the scope, where you're going to search, what you're looking for, how long you're going to be there, what kind of equipment are you going to use, and just say, we're going to give ourselves a pass. We may come into your property today or tomorrow, some other day. We're just going to come in, look around, and gather data everywhere we want. That's a wrong way to go about if you're going to take property with compensation. You can't do it that way. And so the problem here is the means are very they're excessive and unconstitutional, and that's why this dispute has happened, not because people want more access, but because the way the state is now going about it is illegitimate.
Okay, and in doing so, the way the state is going about it, it seems to be violating the Hollister Ranch property owners. Three different kinds of rights are involved here. One of them is the forced entry into private property. It's like, hey, don't you have to have a search warrant or something? You can't just come barging in here, but that's what they're demanding. Isn't that a violation?
Right. That's one of the problems. We'll find out. That's what the ranch is alleging, yes, that just as when the police, the whole point of a warrant requirement is the police, if they have some cause to think that there's a crime and they want to search private property, they're allowed to do that. But the warrant requirement is, it defines the scope and the terms of the search. So it's not a fishing expedition. They're not just trying to find to justify something, the crime, but they have to specific what they're looking for. When are they going to go? Where are they going to do? And that protects, that balances the need for a search, if there is a need, with against the privacy of the property owner. But here, there's none of that in this law. It just says four government agencies and their employees shall have access to the common areas of the ranch, which are the areas of the ranch that are commonly owned by all the owners, like the roads.
So they want to go in and roast some hot dogs, they can do that. The other thing that amazed me is that the state says grants themselves the authority to fine the ranch owners tens of thousands of dollars if they somehow impede access to the state agents as they come pouring in into the ranch. So, that's a lot of money.
Well, it's even more undefined than that. What the law specifically says is that no person can take any action to impede, delay, or obstruct the creation or implementation of the public access program at the ranch. So the problem is that no one knows what an action that delays or impedes or obstructs is. Is filing a lawsuit such an action? Is telling the state officials when they drive up to the gate that today is not a good day, can you come back tomorrow? Is that an action that gets in the way and triggers these massive fines? How about video recording what the state does on your property, following it around, watching what they're searching and videotaping? Are you obstructing them then? No one knows, and that's the problem with this law. It's unconstitutionally vague and infringes on First Amendment rights like videotaping and following around the state when it's searching your property.
Another, subject that really popped into my head when I was considering this is that, the surfer's desire to go surf those pristine, clean, virgin beaches as they are in the Hollister Ranch. And, oh my goodness, what anticipation it must be to have a road in there to gain that access. And as I was scanning one of the blogs on this, one of the comments said that if you want to see what the public does to a public beach, come down to Huntington Beach and have a look. Intimating, of course, that, well, it's a disaster area when you turn the public loose on something like that. And I got to thinking about who best tends property. Do you think it's somebody who owns the property or somebody who rents it?
Just uses it?
Yeah, just uses it.
I don't know. Go to look at the parks in the cities. When you rent a car, do you think that rent a car is taken care of better than your own car? I mean, we all understand that, that there's less incentive because you don't own it. And the broader point is just what you said. There's a real risk, and Hollister Ranch is genuinely concerned about what's going to happen to those beaches if the gates are thrown open and the public is allowed in to any degree. Look, if this property was publicly owned, if the state of California owned it, they would be screaming about preserving it and limiting human activity there to protect the sensitive habitat and the tide pools and the snowy plovers. They would be screaming about it. They always do. But it's private property, and it's owned by people that are considered rich in the eyes of the state. So instead of being, oh, let's preserve it, it's, hey, you rich people, you can't keep all of us out of your property. So there's some hypocrisy in the state's treatment of Hollister Ranch with respect to preserving this area and just saying, hey, look, it's unique in California. Yes, it's privately owned, but it's environmentally pristine, and we ought to keep it that way. And there's lots of other opportunities in the general area in Southern California. Let's just keep this place special. But no, that is not the tactic they're taking.
One of the places, again, I think this relates to that essential conflict between city people and people who out in the country. If you're a farmer and you own your land, I don't think there's going to be any better person on earth to tend that land to the best of your ability than the farmer who owns it. If you're renting that farmland, you probably are under some kind of agreement that you do maintain it. But if you're just renting it from year to year, walking the dogs through the neighborhood, I can tell which house is owned by its tenant and which one is rented. It's really easy to see the difference because those people own their land. Keep up the landscaping, they keep their house painted, they tend things because that's their investment. When they don't own it, and I've been a renter, so I know what I'm talking about, you just can't afford to invest a lot of yourself in somebody else's property. And so if you're, an owner, one of the owners of this pristine, magnificent piece of real estate called the Hollister Ranch, I would suspect that you would be a little bit concerned about what goes on there and who's going to be doing the going on.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, this place is this isn't all, rich movies type people. There are a few of those, but some of these people, a lot of these people bought this property back in the 70s. Surfers bought shares in these parcels a long time ago. And so you have a very eclectic mix of people that live at the ranch. It's not easy to live up there. There's no stores. There's no gas station. There's no internet. There's no services.
Boy, this sounds great.
So you're off the grid, basically. So these people, of course, there's all different kinds, and they are just like anyone else. They sacrificed and invested and lived up there, paid for it, and enjoy keeping it undeveloped. One house on 2 acres of every 100-acre parcel. So there's like 100 houses spread out across 14,000 acres. So these people are very interested in preserving their way of life. The covenants and restrictions are incredible. There's no hunting. There's no motorcycle. There's a lot of restrictions to try and keep it the way it is. And so there's a number of people that genuinely feel like they're being, you know,
railroaded. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure to change that. And a lot of it's coming from California's governor, Gavin Newsom. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to read a little bit about what Governor Newsom has to say about that precious California coast and who should have access and who should control that access. Do stay tuned, right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, if you're a California surfer, you got to look at this Hollister Ranch, due west of Santa Barbara, on the this absolutely pristine section of coast. And you've got to think, there's got to be the best surfing in the world there. Just got to get there. And so this is a significant amount of pressure on the elected authorities to make that ranch available. This from Governor Gavin Newsom, California governor, who just signed AB 1680, granting the state of California free and unfettered access to the Hollister Ranch, not allowing the Homeowners Association essentially any say at all. You will accept us. We are coming. If you don't stand out of the way, we're going to fine you tens of thousands of dollars. Wow. This from Governor Gavin Newsom. As Californians, respect and reverence for our beaches is in our DNA. So much so that we enshrine public beach access into our state constitution. I've long fought to protect these public treasures for future generations and to ensure that any person can experience their beauty. That won't change now that I'm governor. And he is governor of a one-party state, you know, so he has essentially nobody to stand up to him. So if you're the owner of that if you're one of the owners of that beautiful Hollister Ranch, what are you going to do? Well, one thing you can do is pick up your phone and call the Pacific Legal Foundation and say, help! Can you help them, Dave?
Well, yes. We are helping them, and that's exactly what they did. They gave us a call when they saw this was happening. Now, we filed a complaint alleging that the state law is violating the Fourth Amendment and the due process protections, and it takes their property by giving the state an easement for access on all their roads and their property. So we are helping them, and it's going to take time. But, you know, the bigger issue is still lurking, and that's, you know, are we as Californians going to accept and live under a system where private property is really sort of a dirty word on the coast, especially? And what's driving this is the sense among some state officials and a large segment of the population that the coast is different. It really can't be privately owned, even though it is to the mean high water line. It really shouldn't be or can't be. And so that's the underlying tension of the coast is different. Yeah, it's private in name, but hey, we all know everybody should be allowed to go there whenever they want.
They can go there whenever they want, but they have to go there by boat.
And at the ranch, they have to go by boat, yes.
Yes. And so there's the rub, folks. In the California Constitution, as Governor Newsom said, we have enshrined access to the coast to anybody. It's our coast. We can go there. But when it comes to getting there, that's another issue. So how does this Pacific Legal Foundation take on City Hall when there's no opposition at City Hall to those running the place? What do you do?
You go to federal court.
You go to federal court. Okay.
You go to federal court and you have a more At least in theory, and often in practice, you have a more neutral arbiter who is insulated from some of the state politics, because they're appointed by, as you know, the president. They serve as United States judge. They don't serve at the pleasure of any state official or politician. So you have probably a more neutral decision maker.
Do you have
in some cases,
you might end up with the Ninth Circuit, right?
That's where you would appeal, yes.
Okay. Now, do you have to go through the state court to get to the federal court?
No.
No. Okay. So we're filing a suit against the state of California, so going straight to federal court.
The suit is against state officials. It's against the head of the agencies that the law gives the right to access and deal with the ranch. So the Coastal Commission, the head of the Coastal Commission, the head of the State Lands Commission, the head of the Parks and Recreation, and the head of the Coastal Conservancy. That's who sued, because all those are the agencies that are given authority under this law to enter the ranch and to punish people.
Wow. A whole bunch of people. Ollie Oxen Free, come on in. Okay. So this looks like it's going to the Supreme Court to me. Am I wrong? What do you think?
Well, the Supreme Court gets 6,000 to 7,000 requests to take a case per year, and they take about 70. So I'd say that you're correct that there's probably a 1% or more chance that we would go to the Supreme Court. It's very difficult, regardless of how good and important your case is. So I would say that it kind of depends on what the lower courts do, what the Ninth Circuit does, whether your chances go up of the Supreme Court taking it. Right now, we just want to win in the district court.
Mm-hmm. So it goes to district court and depends on who the judge is and who appointed the judge as to what your chances are. And then it goes to the Ninth Circuit, and we all know about the Ninth Circuit. So it looks to me like, you know, the ranch owners pretty much have to go to the Supreme Court.
I wouldn't say that. We win cases before all kinds of judges, appointed by all kinds of presidents. When the wrong is clear and the injury is clear, you cannot discount any court or any judge, because we can often reach the right result. And here, you have a right. Let's talk about the punishment provision. You have a right as a citizen to have an idea beforehand of what type of behavior is illegal and what type of behavior is not illegal. And this law says any action that delays or obstructs is a Coastal Act violation punishable by $22,000 in fine. That is a pretty clear vagueness due process problem that I don't think the appointment of the judge will matter, because I think it's pretty clear.
If somebody gets a flat tire on your property, you could be fined $22,000, because that could be construed as interference or something. Who knows?
That's the problem. Who knows? It invites arbitrary enforcement because it's so broad and undefined that how about the guy at the gatehouse who's just hired to man the gatehouse at the ranch and lets people in and out who are on the list? Is he on the hook for violating the Coastal Act if he says, hey, you guys aren't, I didn't know you were coming in today, you're not on the list, I gotta, you know, hold you back and can't let you in right now? Did he just violate the Coastal Act by delaying the Coastal Act? No one knows.
Do you see the end of private property in the United States?
No, not at all. I think we're actually gaining ground.
Really?
As a nation, I think we're going to be gaining ground in constitutional laws in general. A revival of respect and understanding for the Constitution. I believe that is underway. And I believe it's underway at the Supreme Court. The last 10 years, the Supreme Court has been pretty good on property rights. There's work to do in certain states, in certain areas. But no, I think we're far from, as a nation, abandoning mm-hmm. private property.
In essence, it looks to me like that's what this is a case of, is just taking private property. It looks to me like there are a bunch of people who look at this absolutely beautiful piece of property and say, I want that. I want to experience that. I want to.
Well, sure.
And
I mean,
and it's just a bunch of rich people, and to hell with them. I want that.
Well, sure. I mean, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for lunch, right? there's always this in a democracy, and thankfully we're not a direct democracy, but there's always this tension of, hey, I want what everyone else has, and I'll use the political process to get it. But fortunately, we are a constitutional republic, and the wolves are still subject to the Constitution and the enforcers of that of the Constitution. So you can't just eat up the sheep. You've got some limits that allows the individual to claim superior rights to the majority in certain cases, and that's. In the takings context, again, the government can take your property. It's just got a condition on that.
Mm-hmm.
Pay.
But after a while, don't the wolves, you know, finally eat all the sheep? I mean, if there are so many of them, they keep voting for, you know, what they want, and politicians keep giving them what they want, pretty soon... There isn't going to be a Hollister Ranch. It's going to be a Hollister State Park.
Well, hopefully not. And look, again, I mean, they could take the entire Hollister Ranch tomorrow if they paid for it. So sovereign right of eminent domain is very established, and they could do that. They could take the entire coastline of the ranch and make it into a state park or a national park if they paid fair market value for it. Now, there are lots of constraints on that, but the main constraint is, in the wolf analogy, going back to that, there's a shepherd, and that shepherd has a constitutional stick. And if the wolves get out of line, they could get beat back with that stick. And that's why the courts are so important. That's why judicial appointments.
And that's what David Bremer is. He's the shepherd with a stick, right?
Well, I the stick is the Constitution. I just help wield it. I'm just a vehicle for that, but the Pacific Legal Foundation is just a vehicle for that. But it's the Constitution and it's the judges. Very important, the guardians, that we have good, fair judges and good access to the courts. Otherwise, the Constitution ends up being a piece of paper. You have to have enforcement. And so that's what we're looking to do in the federal court in this case.
So what about us out here, us city people, who look out upon all of this wonderful land out there that we would love to have access to? I'm just thinking about how do we talk to us so that we understand the significance of that private property. I keep flashing back to a story I read about a melon farmer outside of a Chinese city, and who spent the entire summer, you know, growing melons and, you know, putting his whole life into this melon crop. And then right as the melons became ripe, all the city people learned about it. And they all rushed out to the melon farm and stole all the melons. And there was nothing left. And then there was no melon farmer left to grow the melons.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we city people a lot like that? And how do we talk ourselves out of that?
Well, I guess, you know, hopefully people are still rational and you realize that, look, you know, yeah, today maybe it's this parcel of land outside of the city. Tomorrow maybe it's your apartment. And in fact, we see there's in the cities, there's in California and the West Coast in general, there's a lot of regulation that's going on that is depriving city apartment owners and landlords and of their property rights and ability to rent property or to get out of the rental market if they want, or to evict people or to decide who lives there. There's a lot of problems there too. So I think people relate when it happens to them, and it is happening in our in the blue cities, in the coastal cities along the West Coast. So I think you can analogize to those type of things.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a property owner at Hollister Ranch and you have 14,400 acres of pristine coastal California, you look at what's going on in the big cities and say, oh my goodness, don't want that here. Please, not here. And I'm,
right.
I suspect that's probably why they picked up their phone and called Pacific Legal Foundation and said, David Bremer, help me out. Tell him to stop. So what would where do we go from here, David Bremer? Yeah, you're the shepherd with a stick.
We go to the court and we wait for them. We go to the court and we argue the claims, and we do the best we can before court, and we wait for a court to try and issue an injunction stopping the state from having unwarranted searches of the property and punishing people, anyone who does anything, or at least get some clarity from the court on what this law even means. Where can they search? How long can they be there? What is a punishable action that impedes? That's what we really need, is the ranch needs is clarity on what their rights are as this public access program goes forward. And in the meantime, I believe the ranch will be talking with state officials about different public access opportunities and trying to minimize the impact of any expanded access in the future to try and preserve the beaches and tide pools and everything in the condition that they are in, which is the same condition they have been in for centuries. Again, a unique situation, and we ought to want that to stay that way, even if it means it's private rather than out of jealousy or envy, just wanting it to be opened up for everybody else.
Well, folks, when they come to take your property, pick up your phone and call Pacific Legal Foundation. Ask for David Bremer and say, David, they're coming to take my property. Help! And I bet he'll answer the phone. Thanks, David. Really appreciate it. And thank you all out there for tuning in the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.